Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, not like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
Into the darkness.
Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you.
Let's all stand and sing our God.
Sing, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Oh, our God is greater, our God is stronger. For us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Praise you, God.
You may be seated. We're so happy this morning to have with us Tommy Cota. And, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time, so I could give an introduction for Tommy that would go on and on, because God has used him in such a powerful way. He pastors Living Hope Church in Santa Ana, but for us today, it's important that you know that Tommy is also the director of Release Time in Santa Ana. So, Tommy, we're happy to have you. Come on up.
Thank you, John. Well, first of all, man, isn't Release Time great? It's like the best thing ever. It truly is. And John and Sally, thank you for opening up your church home and inviting us all to come and to be here and to, just to grow. And I think one of the most important things is for us, not just as Release Time Education servants and people who love Release Time, but as Christians. You know, times like this is so important because we need to really connect. We need to bond. We need to grow in our love for one another, you know, and encourage each other and hear each other out, you know, to, you know, all the trials and the stuff that we go through. And, you know, just to speak that word, you know, one to another. And this is the body of Christ, you know, and think of it. We're all going to be in heaven. Amen. Man, this is going to be awesome, man. Yeah. But until then, God's called us to serve, right? God has called us to put our hands to the plow. God has called us, and he's gifted every single one of us strategically, right? And I love that, because one of the things that I always share with everyone at Hope Alive Church is that God has strategically not only gifted us in unique ways, but he's strategically placed us, you know, in different arenas and places to be his servants, to be a reflection of the goodness and of the grace of Jesus Christ, you know. And so, I just love it. And again, I think that's a good thing. We can talk about Jesus all day long, right? Yeah, okay, well, let's do it then. Amen. Yeah. All right, well, let me pray. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we are so grateful. We are blessed. And God, we just ask now that you would open up the windows of heaven right now, Lord, and pour out your spirit, pour out your grace, pour out your love, Lord, upon our hearts in a unique way here this morning, Father, here in Long Beach. Lord, that we would just have this sense, Lord, this powerful sense of your presence and of your goodness and of your grace. And so, God, would you speak to us now, Lord? We love you, we thank you, we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is able. Amen. Isn't that a great, great thing? He is able. And so in Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 20 is where you would find that verse. Now to him, this is a doxology, if you would, you know, where the Apostle Paul, he's actually praying. This particular prayer starts at verse number 14, right? And really, in the context, you know, of what Paul the apostle is saying here in Ephesians in chapter number 3, in these verses, this is he's closing with a prayer. Okay, he's closing this moment with a prayer, and he's speaking to the church there in Ephesus. And by the way, that church, when it first got started there in Ephesus, man, that was a crazy town. Right? You think Long Beach is a crazy town. No, Ephesus was a crazy town, man. You know, the goddess Artemis, or also known as Diana, was a sex fertility god. You know, so there was prostitution, male prostitution, sexual immoral activities was going on. And that was, it wasn't uncommon, you know, it wasn't uncommon at all. It was very common to live this kind of a life, to live a life of, you know, hey, do what you feel, you know, do what you feel is right. You live how you want to live, and it's all good, right? And we're going to accept you and all this other stuff, you know, just like that. You know, it's kind of like an Epicurean type of philosophy that was going on. Whatever seems right to you, you go ahead and do it, right? That was the idea then. And, you know, and what does Paul do? We read about the Apostle Paul getting there in the book of Acts, there in chapter number 18. He gets there to Ephesus, and he, you know, the gospel message is powerful, Because that's what he did. He gets there to Ephesus and he begins to proclaim the gospel message, right? And what is that simple gospel message? Hey, God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on a cross for you. And if you confess him, you know, and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you shall be saved. You will be saved and God will change your life and you have the hope of heaven, eternity forever. You know, and that gospel truth, boom, opened up so many eyes there in Ephesus, just like it's opened up our eyes. Amen. The gospel truth opened up our eyes, you see. And so people, we read there in Ephesus, they were coming with all of their different literature and their books and all their, you know, probably pornographic materials and everything. And they just made a big old bonfire. You know what I mean? They say, hey, we need to burn this. We don't need this no more. Right? So stuff was going on. And because of that, we're told, and even in Ephesians, you know, the gospel message was going forward. People's lives were being changed. A riot broke out. You know, people didn't like it. You know, listen, I'm going to get into this in a second here. People didn't like it, right? And that's what was going on. Yet the gospel message and the church began to what? Thrive. And the church began to grow, right? And so what happens is the Apostle Paul, he ends up getting busted, right? Anybody here ever here been busted? You don't got to raise your hand. When I say busted, he ends up going to jail. But for the cause of Christ, for the gospel message, you know, for the cause of Christ, he was in prison. And this is an epistle now here in Ephesians. Paul begins to think of all, I just think of as Paul is right there, you know, and I can truly relate as Paul is in jail writing letters. I can really relate to that because that was me at one point too. I was in jail. I'll raise my hand. I was busted, right? Busted can't be trusted at one point, you know. And so I know what it's like, hey, to be in that place and you want to write letters, you know. So, but Paul, here's the thing. See, for me, I was wanting to write letters to my family. Hey, you know, can you send me some money, please? You know, I need a package now. You know, come and visit me. You know, see, that was me. I was very selfish. Paul the apostle, though, he's writing letters. You know, think of this. He's in prison. And who's he thinking of? The church. He's thinking of the church. Are you growing? And he wants to teach them. He wants to encourage them. He wants to love on them, right? And he understands that the trials and the hardships that they're going through. And so Paul pens this letter to the Ephesians as also he does to Colossians and Philippi. You know, these are prison epistles. And here in this particular section, Paul, he prays for them. He prays for them, you know, and I'm going to go through this prayer real quick. And it says, for this reason, I bow my knees, starting at verse number 14, chapter 3, verse 14. He says, for this reason, right? He says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, watch this, the whole family. I like that. I circled that word in my Bible because we are a family, the whole family, you know, and we all don't look alike, right? But that's all good, right? That's what makes us unique, right? The whole family in heaven and earth is named that he would grant you, watch this, that he would grant you or he would give you, speaking of God, that Jesus would give you, grant you according to the riches of his glory, right? The riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So now Paul's like, hey, he's talking about us. He's talking about you. He's talking about us here and on the inside, right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts. That word dwell, the understanding there is that Christ would make his home. That you would allow God, hey, make your home in me. Make your home in me. And this is something I think that we all want these release time kids to understand, right? We want the kids in release time that are a part of it. We want make room, or not just make room, but allow Jesus to take up full, complete residence in your life. You see, because I think our kids are growing, you know, are in our communities now, and it's not just because it's not the school's fault, or you know, it's society, it's the home, it's everything where everything is compartmentalized. Right? Compartmentalized. I said that word right. Sometimes I get that word compartmentalized. Everything in life is like that. Okay, well, this is part of my life right here. Oh, the Jesus part? Oh, yeah, that's right over here. You know? No, it's not like that. Jesus doesn't have his own little room in your heart, right? Or we don't want Jesus to have his own little room in the hearts and lives of these kids that we're ministering to. We want them to know, hey, let Jesus take up full, complete residence in your life. You see, and I think this is something that we understand as release time servants and ministering to these kids, because we've all been there. We've done that. We've lived it. We understand it, right? And so we want these kids to understand, hey, there is no better life to have than to have it just being filled with the presence of God in every aspect of your life. In every aspect of your life, you know, and the kids sometimes, they don't understand that. And so for us to articulate it at their level, friends, that is so, so important. Amen? It is so important that they understand, hey, what it means to have Jesus just take up full, complete residence. And so Paul, in his prayer, this is what he's praying for the church there in Ephesus, that Christ may dwell in their hearts, or make his home there in their hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Again, Paul, you know, the idea here, he's talking about being rooted and grounded in love together, that you really love one another, not only be rooted and grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love of God, but also be rooted and grounded in your love for one another. We need that in the church today. We need that as servants of Release Time Christian Education, is to be rooted and grounded in love for one another. You know, for the release time that's going on the other side of this nation, or on the other side of this city, or in a different county, you know, I just so love to hear, you know, about release time and all these different counties and school districts. Like all this, I hear release time, like, boom, I love you, you know? Why? You don't even know me. Not because, man, we got something in common here. It's Release Time Education. It's our heart. God has given us this heart that overflows for love of these kids, to see them grow in the things of God. And we begin to discuss and talk, you know, how's the school going where you're at? What's it like, you know, and just what's the front office like? Are they mean to you? Are they rude to you? Are they nice to you? You know, but we're, by all God's grace in Santa Ana, man, they're pretty much 90% nice to us. I say 90 because there's always that 10%, right? That thorn in the flesh. But here we go. And so Paul is saying, hey, his prayer, be rooted and grounded in for one another, right? In love. And watch this, verse 18. In love, may be able, so that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and height, to know the love of Christ. And so really, Paul's prayer here, you know, for the church there in Ephesus, for these people, is he's praying that, man, guys, you know, just think of it, Paul is like, in my mind's eye, I kind of close my eyes, I think it's just Paul's like, you know what, guys, I've just been praying that you all understand how much God loves you. How much he loves you, as he says right there. He's praying for their comprehension, right? And he says that you will comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, he says, now here's the doxology. Here it is. He wraps it up and puts a bow on this prayer. I love it. He says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You know, to him, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know that word, those two words, exceedingly abundantly. You know, the idea, I don't know what it sounds like in Greek, okay? I'm not a Greek scholar, but I read up on it, right? And check it out. It means this. It means like super duper in my mind. That's me. That's just me, right? Yeah. It's like, man, it's like, now to him who is able to do super duper things above all that you ask or think. In other words, you know, Jesus wants to blow our minds. God wants to blow our minds away of what he can do and what he wants to do. And I think he wants to blow our minds with Release Time Education. You know, he wants to blow our minds away in what God wants to do in this wonderful, wonderful ministry and this program that's been going on for generations in this nation. For generations. You know, as I began to talk about how Ephesus was, Ephesus was a city that was, you know, given into the flesh. Hey, do whatever you want to do. Live however you want to live. You know, sexual immorality was common. It wasn't, you know, people wouldn't bat an eye, or people wouldn't even be ashamed or embarrassed about it. You know, it was very common for this kind of behavior to be taking place out in the open even. And you know, we see in our society, in our culture today, much of the same. You know, much of the same. You know, and what is our response as Christians? You know, as Release Time education, you know, servants that want to pour into the lives of these kids, how is it that we respond? You know, are we very, you know, I want to get my words correct here. Because there's evil out there. And what we need to do is we're coming in to this world, right, of evil, this world, you know, because on our school campuses, guys, you know, I understand, you know, I have dear friends that are, you know, a dear friend of mine, he's the superintendent of all the schools in Orange County, all the schools in Orange County, he's a dear friend of mine, very supportive of Release Time Education as well. He loves the Lord. You know, so he's constantly in Sacramento. You know, and he's having these meetings, and I'm asking him, hey, well, so what's going on? What's the temperature? He says, man, you know, these are the laws that's being passed in Sacramento, you know, and through all the, you know, different legislations and everything, you know, it is what it is, you know, and so, you know, if laws need to change, people that shouldn't come just to the school district, they need to go to Sacramento because that's where they're being, you know, don't come to my office, go to their office, right? And we're all familiar with what's going on in our world. You know, our kids are being taught of what it's like to have anal sex. You know, of what it's like to have anal sex and how to, you know, and how to have anal sex, how to have oral sex. And I'm saying they're not only being taught at an age where, you know, okay, like 16 or 17, which is off limits in my book anyways, but they're being taught in the elementary school. In the elementary school age, this is something that many, many districts in our state is doing. You know, and I want to say, I want to say this, I can, as a, for a non-believer to kind of think that, I think I can understand their reasoning behind it. You know, they're probably thinking, well, yeah, they're going to do it anyway, so we might as well tell them all the dangers and all this other stuff, because they're going to find it out anyways, which, okay, I kind of get that, but you know, I don't think, you know, that's from a perspective of what they're thinking. You know, I'm coming from a different platform. You know, I'm coming from a different whole platform where, you know what, our kids don't need to learn how to have anal sex. They need to learn how much they're loved by God. That's what they need to learn, you know? But that's where we come in. You know, that's where we come in. I love it. It's like we're the Navy SEALs of Christianity right here. Yeah, we are. You know, we're just getting into these places. You know, and these kids are coming on to our buses and our, you know, mobile classrooms, whatever they may look like, right? And what is it that we get to do? We get to share the gospel and love of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but have you seen, we always see the response of these kids when they come on, right? You know, they're there and it's like they cannot wait to recite their Bible verse. I have a hard time memorizing the verses, and they got the whole thing. I was like, oh man, do that again. How did you memorize that? That was pretty good, you know? And it's like, okay, yeah, they may have some little incentives. You know, we give them little candies or something like that. Okay, come on, pay up now, you know? But what a wonderful thing, because, you know, we all know that the Word of God will never return void. Will never return void. And so in light of all the stuff that's going on in our nation, you know, as California goes in our public education system, as California goes, so goes the nation, you know, as far as education goes. You know, and I just see all the different Release Time Education ministries and servants that are a part of, you know, here in this state. And it just warms my heart to say, man, praise God, your people, Lord, are out there in the midst of this darkness, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me share this with you folks. What we're doing, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Don't think that as you go away and you drive off and, you know, little Johnny was climbing up the walls and making all these distractions and you couldn't even get to the lesson because, man, you have to keep on telling him to shut up, stop it, you know, go outside, get the driver. Hey, come here. Can you get this little kid? Take him to the front office. That's it. You know, I only got 5 more minutes. I got to finish this lesson. You know, let me tell you something. What we do, especially for that, for little Johnny like that, it makes a huge difference. Just probably about 2 months ago, I was at, you know, just on a Sunday morning, I'm preaching there at Hope Alive Church. And as I'm preaching, I see this young man, you know, mid-20s, you know, and he looked familiar, but I thought he was somebody else. And so I was, hey, what's up, man? But I thought he was somebody else, right? So anyways, he comes up to me afterwards, and as he gets closer, I realize, oh, well, I don't know this dude. You know, what's up, man? You know, what's up, man? You know, how you doing? And he's there, right? He's, like I said, he's mid-20s. I think he's like 26 or something like that. And he's there smiling, right? What's up? And I was like, what's up? You know, what's up with you? You know? And he said, remember me? I was like, oh, refresh my memory. He's, oh, I'm Luis. I'm like, oh, man, what's up, Luis? So he kind of jogged my memory. I said, I remember you, yes. See, Luis was a part, you know, we were going out into the community with the ministry that we were a part of. You know, this is, I'm going back to 2003. And we would go to apartment complexes, and we would just share the gospel, play, you know, soccer, volleyball with the kids, just hang out and minister to them, you know, to the kids and to their families and the mostly moms that were out there. You know, Santa Ana is a predominantly Hispanic community, you know, and so a lot of the moms only spoke Spanish. And so we'd get some of the ladies and they would, you know, they're bilingual, and they would talk to them and share the gospel. And I'd be with the kids, you know, because my Spanish is not Spanish. It's not even, it's barely Spanglish, you know. And so anyways, you know, I got to meet him there, and then he started going to one of the release time to Garfield Elementary, right? And so, like, from the second, third grade, I knew him, and then he started going, you know, to these release time, and then shortly after release time, you know, we kind of lost contact, and he starts, and I, the next time I see him, I was at Juvenile Hall doing an outreach, and I see him, and as a, he was like maybe 14 or 15 years old, and he comes by, and he sees me. I'm like, what's up, Luis? What's going on? I'm like, hey, what are you doing in here? He did a riot. He goes, man, I got jumped into a gang, and I did an armed robbery, and so I'm doing, you know, he did like 5 years or something like that, 4 to 5 years in the youth authority. Right. And so I got to pray with them and share with them and love on him and everything. And then when he gets out, he finally gets out of prison and all this other stuff. Right. And just, you know, not long ago, as I said, you know, he's like 26 years old now. I guess he connected with the old high school friend of his, and she was like, hey, you got to come to my church, you know, and I want you to come to my church. And so I said, well, good for you, mija, you know, good for you. You tell me you want to hang out with me, you got to come to church, you know. And so he comes to church. Right. And that on that day, that's when he was sitting there. He was just like in the back, just like, you know, smiling. I mean, that's why I said, what's up? You know, I was like, dude. But anyways, he comes up, you know, and I start talking to him. And, you know, he starts crying. He's a little girl. You know, he's a daddy now. He starts crying. And I was like, hey, so I put my arm around him. I started just sharing with him, what's up, man? You know, what's going on? You know what he told me? He told me that the moment that he walked in, he just began to think about and remember all those times, all those days, all those weeks being on release time and us having that interaction and the release time education. And he started, and I, as he's crying, I started crying because, man, I was like, oh, man, you know, I'm getting all the chills again right now. And he starts crying, you know, and I'm crying, and I just put my hands on him. And I said, you know what, mijo? I said, you belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. You know, and guess what? Since then, he's been coming to church every single Sunday. You know? Yeah. He's been coming to church every single Sunday. You see, but that's just one story. And I know that we have a room full of stories like that where we see these kids and they grow. You know, we don't know what's going to be happening in their lives or where they're going to be ending up in their life. But here's the thing. Here's, you know, out of Paul's prayer here, in spite of what's going on in our communities, guys, I really think how we respond, you know, in our schools and everything is a huge deal. You know, our schools and everything, the public school system in which we're in, you know, they have their rules. They have their standards that they get from their county district, right? And it gets brought down from the state and everything. It is what it is. And there's a lot of Christians. How many of you guys know that there's a lot of Christians in the educational system? Amen? Oh, yeah. There's a lot of believers. You know, when I get onto these campuses and, you know, teachers will come up, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you, Jesus. I'm like, why? Yeah, well, you know, I got to be in kind of incognito here, you know what I mean? Now, and what I do, I try to say, man, no, don't fear man. The fear of man is a snare. That's what the Bible says. You know, fear God. You know, God strategically placed you here at this school so you can get the and lay hands, get to school early and start praying over these chairs. You know, put little, you know, Bible verses on your desk so these kids can ask you questions. What's that for, teacher? Oh, it's because Jesus loves me and he loves you too. You know, and you just do that. You know, be bold and be courageous. And yet at the same time, you know, wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. And how we respond in our districts, in our schools, to the activity that comes against the gospel, you know, the evil that comes against, you know, and all this other stuff. You know, we have, you know, a lot of teachers are also, you know, want to really promote, you know, sexual immorality, whether it's, you know, gay and or lesbian or something like that, you know, or just whatever, you know, whatever kind of life, or just, you know, I don't care what it is, just keep Jesus out. How we respond to that is very important, you know. And I would say, guys, how we respond is going to be whether or not we continue in our schools, you know. And how we respond is so important. We need to pray. We need to pray for them, and we need to just yield, you know, to the Holy Spirit, you know, and not try to be, you know, kind of a you know, backlash or you know, kind of share or, you know, hey, well, this is the truth and all. Yeah, we understand this is the truth. But my friends, I think what we need to do is we need to seek to build bridges rather than, you know, continue fortifying our barriers. Yes, we have our boundaries as personal, as believers, you know, as the church. Yes, we have our boundaries of what we are going to do or not going to do. But we need to seek to build bridges with people who don't know Christ. You know, we need to have that understanding. So, you know what? Hey, God loves him. How, you know, I understand God loves him. So how can I talk to this person? How can I connect with this person? What kind of commonality do I have to let them know, hey, listen, we're not here to hurt nobody. As a matter of fact, we want to share the love of God. We want to, you know, have a relationship with you as well under the banner of Jesus Christ. And God wants to do miracles. And here's the thing, guys, God can do it. God will do it. You know, I believe he will. He will. You know, as our faith continues to grow in him, because why? What do you mean, Tommy? Look at our world today. Are you sure? No. Hey, listen. God is able to do super duper things. You know, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Look at us. Look what's going on. He's look at me. I was in prison for 6 years. You know, I it's like if somebody after I got saved, if someone would ever said, "Hey, Tommy, you're gonna be a pastor of a church or something like that," I'm like, yeah, right. Yeah, come on, man. I'm just going to be driving a forklift, you know? That's it, you know? Maybe an usher or something like that. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. You know, last May, I got my record completely dismissed. Because, hey, you know, I went to court. They say, well, we're going to dismiss it. I'm like, just like that? They go, shh. I go, well, you know what? That's what Jesus did. He dismissed me, you know? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And I want to close with this one last word of exhortation and encouragement for us. You know, Release Time Education has been in operation for generations. How many of you guys know that? For generations, right? In this great nation, you know, for generations. And, you know, there was a season from what I understand, see, before I was born, there was a season, that's how long Release Time has been. Release Time has been going on since the early 20s, right? Like, yeah, something like that. It was just a long time. Right? Before we were all born. But here's the thing. You know, there was a season, you know, like probably in the 50s or so where you know, Release Time Education, you know, the numbers of students that were enlisted and enrolled, you know, were in the millions, you know, and everything, you know, and then we see a decline. You know, there's still there's thousands of students, but we still see a decline. And you know, what I want to encourage all of us, you know, is to seek out that next Release Time Education volunteer, that person who can drive a trailer. And, you know, and I would encourage you to seek out that person that's, you know, hey, can start with Release Time and say, you know what, I can be involved with Release Time for 30 more years. You know, talking about the young person that can really get involved, you know, with it. And I think sometimes we see the decline of Release Time Education is because, well, there seems to be no interest. It doesn't seem, you know, I don't know, I'm just not interested in it. Or it's not being, people don't even know about it. People don't even know about Release Time Education. I'm like, what? Why don't you know about it? You know, we got to get that word out there. You know, and encourage young folks, you know, that are coming out of college or, you know, those mid-20s. Hey, one day, 2 days out of the week, you know, and who knows, that individual may just be raised up to become a director of release time education by the time they're 35 or 30 years old or something like that, you know, and continue to raise and to grow. You know, we need that, friends. You know, we need that. We really, really do. You know, but it's not just young people. It's all people. It's all people. We need to get all people involved, you know, and I just want to encourage all of us just to be mindful of that, you know. And I was sharing with someone earlier today that, you know, I really, at Santa Ana, there was a season where release time was shut down, and I really do believe, as I did my, you know, kind of diligence and investigation, the reasons why it was shut down, you know, it's just that the people never really reached out to anyone else to kind of catch a fire or catch an interest in it. You know, we see, you know, Yorba Linda, you know, there's a release time out there, and they're not there no longer. And you know, we're praying, you know, God will open up those doors again for that. But, you know, may God continue to bless, and may he just continue to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think in and through our own personal lives and in release time education. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Hey, guys, let me pray for you. I love you, you know, and, you know, let's just continue to go forward with release time. Father, Lord, we love you, and we are so, so blessed with the power of your word. Lord, we're so blessed, Lord, that you have the power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, just those, man, things that we can't even imagine, Lord, you desire to bring to pass. And Father, I pray that you would use every single one of us, Lord, as your instruments, as your children, and as your people, Lord, to continue to love on these kids, love on these children, Lord, that you so love. You said, forbid not these children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us, protect us, watch over us, guide and provide every single need, Lord. Provide over our vehicles, Lord. God, I just want to pray that you'd fix one of our buses right now, Lord. It just seems to be on the blink. We don't know what's wrong with it, but Lord, would you fix it? And God, we pray that we would also be vocal, Lord, encouraging other men and women of all ages, Lord, to be a part, Lord, of release time Christian education, Lord, that they would just see how rich and how wonderful and how unique, Lord, this ministry and this program is. And so, God, we love you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Wow. What an act to follow. Woo, that was great, Tommy. Thank you so much. And thank you all for coming. We have some great workshops for you, and I hope you've looked over the schedule a little bit. And we're going to get started in 10 minutes on those workshops. So the first, the sanctuary session will be in here with Larry Enterline. And then across the way is the fellowship hall. That's where Kelly will be. And then classroom one, we have a workshop, which is just through the foyer, and then to your right, there's two classrooms, one and two. So those, we're all on the ground floor, so I know you'll appreciate that. And if you have any questions, we have different staff people around here that can help you, but we'd love to have you just pray and go to the workshop where the Lord leads you. And we are recording them too, so what you miss, you can, you know, pick up later on our website. Okay? So whatever we do, we need to do it quickly now. So you're dismissed.